In Wisconsin, John Doe investigations are done to determine whether a crime has occurred, and if so, by whom. In recent years, Wisconsinites have heard a lot about John Doe investigations and whether there was illegal coordination by conservative organizations in the recall campaign against Governor Scott Walker. And then last week, an 88-page report by Attorney General Brad Schimmel presented a detailed account of staff at the former Government Accountability Board as they worked on what is being described now as a secret John Doe 3 investigation into GOP officials and staffers who were suspected of campaigning out of taxpayer-funded offices. We're unpacking the latest in the John Doe investigation on this State Capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. J.R. Ross is the editor at WisPolitics.com. You can find him on Twitter at J.R. Ross Writes. J.R., welcome back.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Let's start with the basics here. What was this report from the Justice Department all about? What was being investigated here?
Well, records from these John Doe investigations were under seal and off limits to the public. Somehow, the Guardian newspaper got a hold of a bunch of documents, I think about 1,300 pages or something like 300 documents, and was able to publish those right before the U.S. Supreme Court was deciding whether to revive the investigation that had been shut down by the state Supreme Court. So Brad Schimmel, AG, Department of Justice, opened up his investigation to find out who leaked the documents, and that was the impetus for this entire report, which then laid out last week how they believe these things were put out in the public realm. And the bottom line report is they're saying the people who had them in their possession were so careless with them that they created the environment for it to be the documents to be released. And while they believe a crime was committed in releasing them, they can't prove who did it because the record handling was so sloppy.
So this whole John Doe story has lots of twists and turns over the years. It's somewhat hard to follow. Can you explain how this began and where John Doe 2 came from?
Sure. We call them John Doe 1, 2, and now we have John Doe 3, thanks to this report that we found out about. John Doe 1 began in Milwaukee County with then-Milwaukee County Executive Scott Walker's aides being looked at for campaigning on county time, and it all grew out of the mishandling of funds for this program that helped veterans. So that was the first John Doe 1. That resulted in charges and convictions, I believe, against about a half dozen people, including a few aides of then-County Executive Walker, and some of his associates. Then John Doe 2 grew out of that. John Doe 2 looked at allegations of coordination during the recall election in 2012 between Governor Walker's campaign and outside conservative groups. So we had that. That was the one that became the subject of this court case where it was shut down by a circuit court judge overseeing it. State Supreme Court upheld shutting it down. That went to the U.S. Supreme Court, which did not hear the case. Because of this the report that we got from the Department of Justice, we found out there's something that they're calling John Doe 3. There were hundreds of thousands of pages of emails collected from Republican aides, both in the Capitol, campaign aides, and even state lawmaker Leah Vukmir, that we're not sure why they were collected. They were put in a file called Opposition Research, some of them, and they included things like emails between State Senator Leah Vukmir and her daughter about personal and medical information. It's not clear, again, why those were gathered, but they believe, DOJ, that they're opening up a third investigation looking at Republicans in general.
And we should note that State Senator Leah Vukmir had a piece yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. She is livid. She said that her personal rights have been violated, and she's not sure whether she's going to pursue legal action. She is also running for U.S. Senate, where and her emails were found in this found in a folder on the GAB servers labeled Opposition Research. What was the nature of these messages in these folders?
I mean, there were things in there like there were hundreds of pages of emails about fantasy sports. There were emails about the purchase on Craigslist of a refrigerator. I mean, like, just weird things that, like, why do they have any value to investigators? And we're not clear about that. They can't talk about, obviously, when the GAB doesn't exist anymore. Two, the people associated with the investigation can't talk about the investigation because of these secrecy orders that are associated with the John Doe investigation. So we have no idea why they gathered those emails in the first place.
So if this was opposition research, why or who was collecting this information, and then for what purpose?
Yeah, we really don't know because, again, they can't talk about it. The people who were there, some are gone now from the old GAV. It's also a secrecy order. So in John Doe investigations, there's supposed to be a secret probe in which the information cannot be released. The idea behind them was that if you keep it secret, you're not unfairly tainting somebody who might be in an investigation until you really have something. Well, it also means that we can't find out why the stuff was going on because there were no charges filed. Nothing came out of those emails other than they had them on a server, and we're talking, again, hundreds of thousands of pages of emails that seemed to be largely personal in nature, at least the examples that we saw from DOJ. There may have been other stuff in there, but they chose to highlight these personal aspects of these emails to illustrate to them how this is, you know, investigation going awry.
Talking right now with J.R. Ross, editor at WISPolitics.com, talking about last week's release by the Department of Justice, an 88-page report presenting a detailed account of staff at the former Government Accountability Board as they worked on what was being described now as a secret John Doe 3 investigation into GOP officials and staffers who were suspected of campaigning out of taxpayer-funded offices. You can join the conversation, by the way, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the Attorney General's report on the John Doe leaks? Join at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. JR, aside from these 500,000 emails or so, what else did this report uncover?
Well, it laid out in DOJ's view, how these records were mishandled, that they created an atmosphere that allowed the leak to happen. And it also charges that there was a partisan atmosphere at the GAB that contributed to all this. Now, what's interesting is, since he put this report out there and detailed all this, all these allegations, we've had the head of the Ethics Commission. I interviewed him on Friday. He told me that they are going to issue or release significant clarifications to the report. They disputed several things that were in, gave me some examples of things in the report that they're disputing, and they're going to release information about that. Shane Falk, who's a former counsel for the GAB, he says there are erroneous allegations that he disobeyed a judge's order in handling the bill records. Because what's interesting is, in the report, even though DOJ says a crime was committed, but they can't prove who it was, they all but lay the blame at Shane Falk's feet. And talking to people who read the report last week, they really felt like he was a central figure, and that DOJ went out of its way to kind of paint him as a possible source, because the records that were leaked, according to the report, they were only on Shane Falk's hard drive, which nobody can find apparently anymore, and has been missing. Interviewed Falk over email. He said, "Hey, I left the GAB 2 years before this leak happened. It was not me." And he's got a big issue with this, the way he was described in this report. So the next question is, okay, they're disputing it. Now what's going to happen? What clarifications will we see from the Ethics Commission? The Elections Commission, these are the two successors of the GAB, that body meets tomorrow. Might they have a statement about this? And oh, by the way, in the wake of this report coming out, GOP Senator Steve Knotts has called for resignations of several employees of the Election and Ethics Commissions because of what's in this report. So they're pushing back. So might you have a standoff with lawmakers unhappy about Republican lawmakers?
Let's spend a moment there. Republican State Senator Steve Knotts put out a release late last week saying he wants all four of the ex-GAB members who are currently part of the Ethics or Elections Commission to quit. He said the conduct of the GAB was so reprehensible that anyone associated with it is unfit to serve at the State Elections or Ethics Commission. Any sign that's going to happen?
No, because I talked to the chair of the Ethics Commission on Friday. He said the two employees that were, you know, at the Ethics Commission, one of them, so they just had a job evaluation last week, and he would exceed the expectations, extremely high in his praise, Brian Bell. So there are no signs that the Ethics Commission is going to push these guys to leave. And the Elections Commission, when they meet tomorrow, we're expecting a statement from the Elections Commission chair afterwards. So if it follows what the Ethics Commission said, we might see another kind of vote of confidence for those guys from them. And again, part of the Ethics Commission's reasoning, according to Dave Albrecht, is they're disputing what's in the report, how it pertains to some of their employees. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, JR, thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Have a great day.
You too. J.R. Ross is editor at wispolitics.com. He tweets at J.R. Ross Writes. We're looking at the Department of Justice's findings on the John Doe 2 leak to The Guardian and examining what comes next. You're welcome to join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the Attorney General's report on the John Doe leaks? Join in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update. An 88-page report released last week describes the Wisconsin Department of Justice's investigation findings and conclusions related to the Guardian leak in 2016. That's when the newspaper received what they said was 1,500 pages of leaked documents during the course of the John Doe investigation into alleged campaign finance violations during the 2012 recall election. Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel joins us on the line. Attorney General Schimmel, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So what was your overall reaction to the findings of the DOJ probe into the Guardian leak?
Well, there were a couple of things that surprised us. First off, we did have considerable difficulty getting to all the information. It took us over and over again before we were getting everything. We would get some materials, and then we'd look and we'd find there's more. We could tell from those materials, and we'd go back, and then there would be more. There was one point in March where some of the current Ethics Commission staff found a couple boxes down in a basement, and it turned out to be more materials. Another thing that surprised us was that the investigation had expanded into areas and into a number of individuals as targets that no one had any idea was happening, which it was a secret John Doe, but still these ones were troubling, and particularly that the emails that they obtained from many of these people were put into a file called opposition research. In political, I know to the average citizen, that phrase might not mean very much. In the political world, opposition research has a very specific meaning. Every candidate for office keeps a file on themselves to make sure you know what they might say about you, but you also get a file on your opponent. And we all label it opposition research.
Well, State Senator Leah Vukmir wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and she referenced the disbanded Government Accountability Board. She said, quote, "I wrote legislation that led to the agency's elimination, and this has been one of my proudest accomplishments as a state senator, yet I am still considering legal options for the invasion of my personal privacy." She goes on to say, "I was appalled at the news, especially because those who ran the John Doe investigation read and kept the emails between my daughter and me. This was criminal behavior, and the individuals involved ought to see jail time." How would you respond to her?
Well, I certainly understand her outrage. She hasn't actually seen the emails because they are secret. We're not permitted to turn them over to anyone except the court. Our staff has seen them, and we know what's in there, and we saw communications that are purely personal, conversations between she and her daughter about medical issues, about buying clothing, about events coming up, things like that, that there was no reason for them to have them, much less hold on to them, and store them in a file called opposition research. So that's very concerning. I understand why she's upset. Now, the problem I run into, first off, our investigation was limited to the leak. That's what we are authorized to do, was to look at these records and try to determine who caused the leak and see whether legal action could be taken. We conclude that there was criminal activity. The problem is because of the terrible record keeping at the former GAB, we cannot narrow it down to any one or several people who we can say are the cause of the leak. It's you can't can't charge a whole bunch of people and then go to the jury and say, well, decide which one of them's guilty for us. It doesn't work that way.
Attorney General, do you feel that you have found all the documents? Have you been able to gather all you think is there and all you know that is there?
We're never going to know, frankly. Because of the nature of the record, the lack of record keeping, there was no one logging things in. There was no custodian of records. There are no records that tell us what came into the GAB, what went out, who had it. We just have no idea. And this is a troubling thing to me, is all of the people whose private information, we have to keep that in mind. This is all personal private information. They've got everything from their emails. And I think any of your listeners would be horrified if they thought that the government would be able to have all of their email communications and text message communications, et cetera, and bank records, things like that. Unfortunately, the most troubling thing to me is, in the end, I cannot assure any of the targets that somebody didn't make copies of their information. Now, there are a few Gmail accounts that were being used that are still and not taken down. There are a few places that we think there might be some records, and that's why we've asked the John Doe judge to consider remedial contempt to make sure that we do have everything.
Well, along that
stronger control.
Along that line, the DOJ is recommending contempt proceedings against 8 people who either worked for the Government Accountability Board, the Milwaukee County DA's office, or the Elections Commission. Special Prosecutor Francis Schmitz is a 9th person. Can you explain why you can't file charges against these individuals?
Well, the assertion that Senator Vukmir and many of the other targets make is someone broke the law by getting documents they shouldn't have, by taking the investigation further than they should have. And that's a valid concern. The problem is the prosecutors, investigators got a judge to sign all of those things. Every subpoena, every search warrant was issued by a judge. That's kind of your get out of jail free card, is if you can get the court to do it. Now, if you could demonstrate that they lied, that they intentionally misled the judge, that they knew the judge wasn't going to read something, maybe you could try to piece something together. But our investigation was relating to the leak at this point. And we've concluded relative to the leak that although a crime was committed, we are not able to identify which person did it.
On page 83 of the report, it says that the hard drive that contains the evidence needed to convict anybody of a crime is either, quote, with the guardian, destroyed, or hidden by the perpetrator of the crime. What do you think most likely happened to it?
Well, it's hard to guess, but somehow the information had to be communicated to the guardian. It seems a likely possibility that someone simply turned that hard drive over, but we just don't know that.
What can you do to search for it at the Guardian, or is there any further search that can be done?
Well, we have searched. We did get a search warrant eventually for the GAB headquarters. It was the Ethics Commission by that time, but we did get a search warrant and did search. We're confident it's not in that building. It may have been taken home by one of the individuals. Now, here's something important, though. You know, people have asked the question, well, can't you search the Guardian, or can't you do some kind of legal process against them? Our founding fathers rightly found that it was critically important to our nation, to this democracy, that we have a strong freedom of the press. I cannot and should not get a search warrant to go search the Guardian headquarters, and they don't have to tell us their source, and that's perfectly lawful.
Well, Attorney General Brad Schimmel, we have a number of calls. Let's go to Steve in Sun Prairie with a question. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, the report itself is very, very chilling of what the government can do to people that they disagree with. But what's even more critical, when you talk about our founding fathers and the freedom of the press, What's even more chilling is the lack of the watchdog mentality of our press to go after or to make sure that entities within our government are not disrespecting the rights of our citizens. And there are entities such as the Wisconsin State Journal, NPR, the Milwaukee Sentinel, that were actively cheerleading this investigation to go after Walker. So to me, that's the most chilling aspect of the whole thing.
Brad, do you see that the media were taking a side here on this?
Some approached this differently than others. Ultimately, it took the Wisconsin Supreme Court to make clear that the legal theory on which the prosecutors and investigators were relying was not valid. And at that point, the whole thing should have been shut down. And it didn't. We found that some members of the GAB staff continued to access information after the judge issued the first order telling them not to, and then even after the judge issued the second order. And then the way they treated the material so cavalierly at the GAB offices was also very troubling. I share the caller's concerns that some in the media, and I don't think you can throw it over an entire news source, but there are some out there who did seem to have a political bias of their own. I think as an investigator, you got to put it aside as a journalist. You have to put it aside and try to report the facts as the facts are.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said this report proves that the GAB was a failed experiment, his words, and a rogue agency where partisan behavior ran rampant and went completely unchecked. Do you agree with that?
We certainly did find email communications from GAB staff attorneys that made clear that they had very strong partisan bent in this. Frankly, there were times that members of the prosecution team, the special prosecutor, or members of the Milwaukee DA's office would start to express some doubts about the directions that the investigation was going. And the GAB attorneys reacted pretty strongly. And it was very clear to me, my opinion is that they were not able to put their partisan views aside and take a step back and look objectively at what was happening.
Let's go to Kurt, who joins us from Chippewa Falls. Go ahead, Kurt.
Good morning. I would suggest that this is a classic situation of shooting the messenger. As I recall the history of this situation, the GAB was shut down in the first place because Republicans did not want the information, the evidence, to be further disclosed. And now that it has been disclosed in the only way possible, because of the strictures of what the administration is doing to the GAB. Now, when it has come out, they're raising the smoke screen, and I would like to ask Attorney General Schimmel, why aren't you as assiduous and outraged over the information that's being disclosed as you are about the way it's being disclosed?
Well, ultimately, the Wisconsin Supreme Court concluded that there were no law violations. I enforced the law the way it's written and the way the court interprets it. So the legal theory on which the evidence was gathered and the claim by the prosecution team that the activities were unlawful has turned out to not be accurate. So there's nothing for me to be outraged about. I hope I understood the question.
Let's go to Todd now, who joins us from Green Bay. Go ahead, Todd.
Good morning. There's several things. I'll answer your question for Attorney General Schimmel as to whether or not the news media was biased in this. The answer is very simply yes, in a major way. The other thing that I wanted to call about was eventually everything always comes down to the top, like they say. The fish rots from the head down. And Kevin Kennedy was in charge of the GAB. And I'm just shocked that he is not being held responsible at all for the actions of his subordinates and his employees. And somebody, there has to be a mission statement in there, but on top of that, he's bound by the law to conduct his office in certain ways that conform with the laws, and he obviously did not do that. And the other person involved that should be held to that same standard is the judge. I believe it was Francis Schmidt, but there might have been others. But any judge who upheld this, who upheld their investigations and signed off on these various subpoenas, probably should have known better, or should have known that they should have been limited, more limited in scope than they were.
So
that judge should be also held accountable.
So, and Todd here brings up layers of he sees wrongdoings. Attorney General, go ahead.
Those are certainly valid arguments to make that wrongs were done. In our system, we do have limited immunity for prosecutors and judges when they are acting under the color of law. The Supreme Court ultimately concluded their legal theories were wrong, and I have some questions about the nature in which they proceeded on investigating their legal theories, and certainly with what we found in what was in the opposition research file, the many personal emails, this is all very troubling. But again, as I responded to the earlier caller question, this is the system. If you get a judge to sign it as a prosecutor, you've passed the probable cause test, and the probable cause includes both that there is likely to be information in the possession of the person you wish to search or subpoena, and also that what you're asserting is a violation of the law, a crime.
So Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge William Hugh, who was overseeing the possible contempt proceeding, stepped down on Friday because he tweeted about the case before being assigned to it. So now there is a new judge. Once that happens, then what?
Well, that's all very disappointing because that is going to put a delay on things. Now the Supreme Court's going to have to try to find another judge willing to take this on. And we'll have to kind of start from zero again because the new judge will have to pick up all of the filings and proceedings and become familiar with the case. So it's going to cause some delays. It's very disappointing that this has happened this way.
And while we have you here on the line, we want to ask you about the DOJ says a lawsuit challenging an economic development project in Eau Claire could imperil the Foxconn plant in Racine County. The issue here is whether local economic incentives can result in cash payments to a private developer or company. We can't get into all the details, but is the Foxconn factory in jeopardy because of this?
Well, we don't think that the law permitting municipalities to enter into TIF districts is in jeopardy. So no, we don't think ultimately that Foxconn will be. We feel very strongly that this is a lawful statutory process that the legislature put in place, and that municipalities may do this. So we think we'll prevail. So ultimately, no, I don't think Foxconn's in jeopardy from that.
Well, Attorney General, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Attorney General Brad Schimel. We've been talking about the Justice Department report criticizing the former Government Accountability Board for its John Doe investigation to determine whether there was coordination between conservative groups and Governor Scott Walker's campaign. You can join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the Attorney General's report on the John Doe leaks? How do you feel about Senator Steve Noss calling for Ethics and Elections Commission members in the DOJ report to quit? Join in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We will return after a check of the latest news. The Wisconsin DOJ investigated the leak of more than 1,000 pages of documents last year to the Guardian newspaper, and the upshot is an 88-page report revealing a John Doe 3, that is, a previously unknown and secret investigation into a broad range of Wisconsin Republicans with more than a 500,000 personal emails kept on servers labeled Opposition Research. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's bring in Matt Rothschild, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and a regular contributor to our Friday Week in Review programs. Matt, welcome back.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're not terribly impressed with this report from the DOJ into the Guardian leak, and we'll get into the details as we go along, but give us your general assessment.
It's a horrible hack job, actually, a very partisan and biased report that goes way beyond what it was supposed to do. It reminds me of James Comey's Hillary Clinton comments when he was investigating Hillary Clinton in July and decided not to prosecute, but instead of just saying, we don't have enough to prosecute, I'm going to just go out there and say how horrible Hillary Clinton is. And so the same thing happened here. Brad Schimmel was investigating whether he could prosecute someone for leaking documents to The Guardian, and he concluded he couldn't. So why didn't he just shut up and close the books? Or if he wanted to send proceedings on to the Wisconsin Supreme Court to discipline a lawyer here or a lawyer there, go do that and let's see those documents in court rather than having him just go off here on a report that, first of all, does a disservice to the prosecutors in the John Doe, especially Francis Schmitz, who Attorney General Schimmel clears in this report from being able to be the leaker. There's no suggestion whatsoever that he was the leaker. He's in the clear on this, and all that they had on Francis Schmitz, the prosecutor, was the innuendo or suggestion that he didn't protect the documents enough, and Francis Schmitz has denied that and said he was following the judge's orders to the letter. So there are a lot of stray accusations here. I don't think the report should have been made public. It's a huge whitewash of everything Scott Walker ever did. I saw here on page 82, no piece of John Doe 2 or 3 evidence reviewed by DOJ suggests illegal or unethical conduct. That's not what they were investigating. That's a straight conclusion for to something that they weren't even supposed to be looking into. They were looking into the leak.
Well, 9 individuals could face disciplinary action for their alleged roles in the leak, according to this report. Do you see any wrongdoing here from what you've gathered?
Oh, there was wrongdoing, no doubt. Francis Schmitz himself admitted the law was committed when the documents were leaked. But there was another leak, by the way, that hasn't been discussed this morning, I don't think, and that is the leak by Eric O'Keefe, who runs Wisconsin Club for Growth, who intentionally leaked information about the John Doe investigation to the Wall Street Journal and then bragged about it on talk radio in Wisconsin. And did Brad Schimmel investigate him? No. Did he publish a report on him? No.
Well, State Senator Leah Vukmir, who was also a target in this opposition research folder uncovered, she wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and she said, I wrote legislation that led to the GAB's elimination, and this has been one of my proudest accomplishments as a state senator, yet she is still considering legal options for the invasion of my personal privacy. Her intimate emails were detailed between her and her daughter here. She said that this was criminal behavior and the individuals involved ought to see jail time. What do you make of what she says?
Well, I was listening to Attorney General Schimmel this morning on the show just a few minutes ago saying the prosecutors had search warrants for everything. So it seems to me that she doesn't have a legal leg to stand on.
So let's go back to this report. You've read the whole report, and you've made notes, I see. Lots of sticky notes. What stands out to you? Because we talked about on page 83 of the report, it says that the hard drive that contains the evidence needed to convict anybody of a crime is either with the Guardian, destroyed or hidden by the perpetrator of the crime. What do we make of that comment?
Well, they couldn't find the evidence they needed to bring charges against someone. I mean, that's the conclusion. I mean, a crime was committed. They can't find the criminal. They should have dropped everything. That's what they're supposed to do. They investigate until they can prosecute and indict, and they couldn't indict, so the case should have been closed. I mean, the suggestion that Kevin Kennedy, and I know a caller was besmirching the reputation of Kevin Kennedy, head of the Government Accountability Board, who's about one of the straightest arrows you're going to ever meet. I mean, I find those accusations that come out of this report, too, just to be so disreputable and disgusting. There's nothing really there. I mean, at most what they had on Schimmel, the most that Schimmel had on Francis Schmitz, the John Doe prosecutor, and Kevin Kennedy, head of the GAB, was that they didn't secure every last piece of information the way they could. It didn't say that they were intentionally trying to hide documents. Quite the contrary. I mean, Francis Schmitz, as the report indicates, submitted a whole bunch of 14 boxes full to the Wisconsin Supreme Court when they told him to do so. So, you know, there's a lot more innuendo and slander here than actual criminal behavior. There was a leak. It should have been prosecuted. If they could find the criminal, they should have brought charges. They couldn't find the criminal, so they should have dropped everything.
Let's bring in a call here. Let's go to Ann in Monona. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, first of all, leaks are really a last-ditch effort. When you can't get justice any other way, leaks have led to the exposure of a lot of corruption. And whether they're a crime or not, they're a basis of investigative journalism. And they're usually not indulged in until all other methods have been tried, including legal ones. But I really call to say that for any Republican, especially the Attorney General, to accuse any government body or quasi-government body of partisanship is really laughable when you consider that the extreme redistricting done by some Republican legislators, the governor, and Michael Beston Friedrich, who is the governor's, which is the governor's law firm, right across the street from the Capitol, excluded even Republicans who disagreed with this absolutely unjust and, vote suppressing redistricting of the state.
So. Well, Ann, we're going to have to cut you off short here to get Matt here to respond. Matt, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to respond to the first part because about whistleblowing and leaking and sometimes the benefit to the public of that. Because let's remember, if the leak hadn't happened, we would never have known the specifics of what the allegations were. And the allegations were quite dramatic. In fact, they're not allegations, they're facts, that Scott Walker was going all over the country to sit on the laps of millionaires and billionaires to fundraise for his own recall and other recalls here, and had people make out checks not to Scott Walker for governor, but to a middleman, a middle group, Wisconsin Club for Growth. In fact, they wrote the checks out to Wisconsin Club for Growth, and one person put on the memo of the check because Scott Walker asked me to. And at the time, that was illegal under Wisconsin law. Wisconsin had a law on the books that said it was illegal for candidates to coordinate with outside groups. The only reason it became legal is because the Wisconsin Supreme Court in July of 2015 waved its magic gavel and said, oh my God, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution we just discovered prohibits the state of Wisconsin from banning coordination between candidates and issue advocacy groups. Now, part of that relates to this report because the report says the John Doe investigators and the Government Accountability Board staff erroneously believed, that was their term, erroneously believed that crimes were being committed. Well, it wasn't an erroneous belief at the time. It was actually an accurate belief.
What do you think of Republican State Senator Steve Noss's call for members of the Election and Ethics Commissions who were named in the DOJ report to resign?
I think it's over the top. I think people at the former GAB, now at the Elections Commission and Ethics Commission, have been doing a pretty good job. As we heard that the director of the Ethics Commission had just given one of those people a great year-end evaluation, I guess. So I think that is, again, just stray charges against people who didn't commit a crime, because the Attorney General isn't being able to bring criminal charges against anybody. At most, there were some documents that weren't accounted for. How serious is that? There's no suggestion that a couple of those people who are still with the commission had any intention to deceive. And so I think that's just making too much out of that.
Let's go to Mike in Cottage Grove. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, I think Matt made a great point. If the Attorney General should have to remain silent because his report, he can't prosecute someone, then I believe he should, and a lot of liberals should, stay quiet about the John Doe investigations, because the Supreme Court said, and so did the federal U.S. Supreme Court, say that there were no crimes committed. So, you know, he can complain about the Attorney General, but he doesn't seem to be following his own advice.
It's always nice to hear from Mike. I recognize your voice. I'll leave it at that, and I'm hoping you have a nice holiday, Mike. Anyway, the U.S. Supreme Court, it's untrue that the U.S. Supreme Court said there wasn't a crime committed. They just didn't take the case.
Well, Mike, thanks for calling. So what do you think may happen as a result of the investigation into the Guardian leak? Do you see staffing shakeups, and you know, what might happen? And we, of course, have a judge change in the proceedings as well.
Well, it's going to go very slowly. I can't see any judge, on the basis of this report, citing Francis Schmitz, the John Doe prosecutor, or Kevin Kennedy, the former head of the GAB, for contempt. I just do not see any amount of evidence here that would rise to that occasion. Whether one or two of the lawyers get slapped on the wrist or not, hard for me to say.
Okay, so as we begin to wrap up here, Matt, what have we learned from Wisconsin's John Doe investigations? What is the moral here for Wisconsin?
Well, the moral here is Scott Walker can get away with just about anything. He was flagrantly violating the law on the books at the time, and a corrupt Wisconsin State Supreme Court that was getting that owed their seats on the court to the same people the John Doe prosecutor was investigating, Wisconsin Club for Growth and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, gave Walker a get-out-of-jail-free card.
And do you think that this report, though, sheds light on the Republican perspective?
Well, the Republican perspective is that the Government Accountability Board had a witch hunt, and I don't see the facts really justifying that whatsoever.
Well, Matt, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a regular contributor to our Friday Weekend Review programs. Earlier, we talked with WisPolitics.com editor J.R. Ross. We talked with Republican Attorney General of Wisconsin Brad Schimmel about his agency's report released last week on the Guardian leak by the now disbanded Government Accountability Board. We can continue this conversation, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina. We had technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and you find this conversation on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.